Alright, so tonight, the plan is that we are finishing the 11th bracha, the bracha of Mishpat, of Din. So I wanted to talk tonight about two ideas, so I guess we'll see if we get through both of them, but two ideas about the concluding phrase of the bracha, Baruch HaShem Melech Ohev Tzedakah Umishpat. So first we're going to discuss what the regular phrase Melech Ohev Tzedakah Umishpat means, and then we're going to discuss the alternate version that we say during the Yamim Noraim, why it is that there is an alternate version, what the difference between the two is, and what the meaning of the alternate version is. So we'll try and get through both of those points. We'll see if we make it through. but so the very first point that I wanted to touch on, the Melech Ohev Tzedakah Umishpat, that the Lavush writes that Melech Ohev Tzedakah Umishpat means that God, the guy's a king who loves when we behave, when we act with tzedakah mishpat. It does not mean that God loves to carry out tzedakah mishpat. It might be true also, but that the point of the bracha, meaning the concluding line of the bracha, is that he's a malach ohev, he's a God who loves the execution of tzedakah mishpat, not just by him, but in the world. He loves when the world is conducted with tzedakah and mishpat. And the idea that the God doesn't want us to just have some kind of intellectual appreciation of the mitzvos and of spiritual values, but God is happy when we carry out His will into the world, when we exercise and when we represent God in the world, when we run the world, conduct the world with tzedakah and mishpat, when we run the world with justice and judgment, that God loves our performance of tzedakah and mishpat, that we carry it out and that we keep the world conducted with that system. However, just another idea, the Dover Shalom, one of the commentaries in the Otzer Mefarshei Tfilos, writes that the concepts of tzedakah and mishpat don't normally coexist. Tzedek and mishpat are not a normal pair. They don't normally fit together. And Hashem has the ability to be ohev both of them, to love both of them. So just to understand what it means that the two don't go together, so just start with that. Mishpat, the idea of mishpat, we talked about this idea before. I think we talked about this when we were discussing the idea of kedusha on the third bracha. But the idea of mishpat is an exact, measured response and consequence to your actions. Consequences are not mostly, right? If you fall out of a window, no matter how tired you were, or what a hard life you've had, or what a hard day you've had, or what mitigating circumstances there were that caused you to fall out the window, you're going to get hurt when you hit the ground, right? Mishpat is that there's rules and there's a system, and the system is what it is, and it's consequences. There is a response to your actions. Your actions have an effect, and that effect is real. And the mishpat means that whatever the consequence to your actions was, that is what is going to happen. So the moment when there is a departure from exact din, from the exact execution of judgment, it's no longer mishpat. It's no longer the defined, set consequence response to your actions. It's no longer, as soon as there is an iota of tzedek, as soon as there is an iota of lifnim mishuras hadin, as soon as there is one drop of going beyond the strictly what justice would demand, and you know, some element of taking into account other factors and being lenient, whatever it is, it is by definition no longer mishpat. Tzedek does not mean that you are dismissing, you know, you're just ignoring what the person did wrong. Tzedek means that you are not, you are taking into account other factors. Okay, what they did was wrong. There might be some consequence, but it won't be the full consequence. That's at that point when you have tzedek, at the moment when you've introduced something other than the direct, what is directly demanded as the consequence of their action, you no longer have mishpat. You now have, I don't know, something in between, but you no longer have mishpat. And therefore, tzedek and mishpat are two things which by definition cannot coexist. You either have tzedek or mishpat. So the two are, by definition, mutually exclusive and incompatible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability, is the kocho, and the ability to love both of them. On a basic level, what this means, what I understand this to mean, is that Hashem wants both independently. That Hashem wants to be mative. Hashem wants to be benevolent to the world, to give, and therefore he wants tzedek. He wants the Hashem's purpose in creating the world. He wants to be able to give to others, to be a benefactor. But Hashem wants us to earn it. He wants it not to be Nahama de Kisufa. He wants it not to be what the Sfarim referred to, the bread of embarrassment, that if you're given a free gift, you know you don't really deserve it, you didn't really earn it, you don't really fully appreciate it. God wants it to be a fully appreciated gift, and therefore he wants mishpat. He wants us to earn and deserve what we're getting, and that what we have is the consequences of our own actions. If we have what we have in mishpat, then what we have, something, what we have earned, is really ours. It's the consequence of our own actions. Consequences don't always have to be bad. It's the positive consequences of our own actions. We are the masters of the good that we're getting. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a place for both of them in the way in which God created the world. There's a place for both of them because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants tzedek. He wants the world to exist in a way in which he is giving the scar, in which he is the benefactor, but he wants mishpat. He wants us to earn it. He wants it to be something which we can say we brought this about. One level. However, on a deeper level, it's not just that God has a place for tzedek and a place for mishpat, but that Hashem wants both concurrently at the same time. The two cannot coexist. The two are objectively, by definition, incompatible. But that is the attribute, that is the the way of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem puts together opposites in a way in which we cannot understand. We discussed this at length by Ata Kadosh, that the Midah of Kedusha, you ever find the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to take, the Midah of Kadosh is taking things which by definition don't fit together, that which things that are opposites, and putting them together to create something which could not exist without the combination of the two, but which exists as a combination, as a synthesis of two things which are by definition incompatible. We talked about many examples of this, that the idea of chesed and the idea of gvura are by definition opposites. Are by definition, you can either have one or the other, or chesed and din, different terms that they're referred to, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu combines chesed and din and creates something that the two building blocks of the world, the midah of chesed and the midah of din, the midah of kindness and judgment, he puts those two together somehow in a way that we don't understand, and through that, that's where creation comes from. We talked about this idea that Abraham is the midah of chesed, and Yitzchak was the midah of gvura and of din, and Yaakov was the synthesis of the two. I don't want to go through back through everything we discussed then, but we talked about this, like Abraham married one wife who was the counter of his Midas HaFesed was Sarah. Sarah was the one who was more exacting, and she's the one who saw the evil Nishmal and wanted to throw him out. And then Yitzchak married the opposite of his Midah, the Midah he married Rivka to counter his Midah of Gvura. And then Yaakov had to marry two wives because he was the synthesis of two Midos. He was the synthesis of his Avraham's Midah Chesed and Yitzchak's Midah of Gvura, and therefore he had to have two Ezer Kenegdos because he was the synthesis of two Midos. And that's the Midah of Kadosh, and that's why Yaakov is the Midah of Kedusha, right? V'gdishu es Kedosh Yaakov, the Pasuk says. Yaakov represents that synthesis of the two, and it's that synthesis of the two which produces something which is eternal, which produces something which is real, which is why Yaakov was the progenitor of Klal Yisrael. Avram had one child, right? There's Yishmael, but so he had one child who carried on the legacy. Yitzchak had one child who carried on the legacy. Yaakov was the progenitor of a Klal Yisrael. He was the first one who had the beginning of the Am. So that's the koach of Kedusha, is to take two things that are opposites and put them together. We discussed also that's the...
So, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was wondering if there are examples that we have of seemingly opposing Midas that actually end up canceling each other out versus... You know, you fit them together perfectly like this versus they just don't work together. Because you try to put these two things together, it's hard. So what happens when you fail? When people in Tanaka fail?
Well, I mean, the ideas that we're talking about are very conceptual, so it's hard to, you know, put something into, you know, exact case of, you know, where someone was. But just on a basic level, the idea is that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can combine them. If it's being done without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it doesn't work. Then it will fail. Just maybe the next example is going to say is that the next example that we discussed back then also, but the idea that an Ish and an Isha, a man and a woman, really are fundamentally opposites. They represent opposite kochos. Man represents the idea the on the two sides. If you look at the chart of the spheros, so the spiritual spheres, so you have on one side Chesed and the other side Gvura, and correspondingly to them, you have above them, you have on one side you have Chachma, and on one side you have Bina. That's the Adam is Chachma, and the Ish is Chachma, and or the Zafar, male, is Chachma, and Nekeva is Bina. That's why I say that women have Bina Yisera, right? That those two opposites, so man and women are the same, that same two opposites. Anybody who's been in a relationship could testify that men and women are opposites, but that in not just in, you know, their personalities, but in their nature, they're opposite. And the two come together to form a new life. But how do they come together? So the Gemara says that there's Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam. And there's three partners in the creation of a person. There's the father, there's the mother, and there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. what role does a Kadosh Baruch Hu serve in that creation, in that act of producing something? So that the man and the woman, they supply, you know, the materials. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is what puts it together. The man and the woman, if it was just left to their own, they can't. The two of them are opposites. They can't come together to produce something new. It's only because a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and is the third partner, which puts it together, that's where you have the synthesis of two things which don't fit together. It's the Midah of Kedusha of a Kadosh Baruch Hu was to be able to put opposites together. The similar, another example of this, you have that, and these things all really are parallels in a certain sense, but the next one, also the guf and the neshama, the body and the soul. So the Ramchal writes about that the soul is, it's, you know, tahor, it's from a lofty place, it's pure, it's spiritual, it's holy, and the guf, the body, it's physical, it's material, it's earthy, it's coarse. And the two of them are opposites. And the Ramchal writes that the neshama is really repelled by the guf. That if the, when the neshama is put into the guf, by their nature, the soul is just repelled from the body and would immediately leave the body. And the Ramchal says that therefore, when God put the soul into the body, there's a specific gezeira needed that to keep the soul in the body. It says that God bound the soul into the body. And that on top of that, after that, there's still such opposites that the soul immediately would, in being contained in the body, would have just overcome the body and had to, you know, purify it, otherwise it can't exist there. And this is that God reduced the ability of the neshama while it's in the body to perform that. But the idea that the two are opposites, and they only go together because of a divine decree that they stay together. It's the only reason why the body and the soul coexist. And that's the role of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, is always to take these opposites and put them together.
So it seems like, and from personal experience, it's the role of the intellect that allows the Guf and the Neshama to stay as one and reconcile the two. And it seems like that fits with the idea that our intellect is what is our godliness. That's what gives us.
I think it's not entirely correct. I think it's not entirely true. I think the intellect comes from the neshama.
Okay.
Correct. We actually 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, in my Sunday morning class, we actually discussed the idea that it's another one of these things, but that the dibur, that speech, is actually what defines man as the combination of the body and the soul. That's what we find in the beginning of the Torah when it says Vayehi Ha'adam L'Nefesh Chaya, that Unklus translates that as L'Ruach Memalala, that he became a speaking spirit. And we find that there's the neshama, which is, you know, the loftiest part, purely spiritual part of the person. There's the nefesh. The nefesh is the you know, even animals have a nefesh. The nefesh is that which animates a person, is the part of a person's, what we call a soul, that interacts with his body. And the part that combines the two is the ruach. And the ruach is, we find throughout our sources, that is where speech comes from. Speech comes from the ruach. When the body and the soul are put together, the new entity that's created, the Adam, is defined by the ruach, by his capacity of speech. And it's really, I don't want to go too much into it now, but you find in halacha, you find that speech is really, you know, on the cusp of thought and action. In some areas in halacha, speech is defined as an act, and in some areas in halacha, speech is defined as not an act, because speech is really right on the border there. That speech is the combination, is the physical expression of an intellectual, of an intellectual existence, right? That a thought is really, you know, it's an idea, a concept, is purely something. It doesn't have physical expression. The physical expression, the conveyance of thought, of intellect, into physical reality is through speech. And I actually once heard Ron Lapiansky talk about this point, that when we talk about the godless of man, that they can, of speech, it's not the fact that I can pronounce the words, pass me the soup. Right? That's not the myla of Dibor that Adam has. Man has the ability to express lofty and complex concepts into conveyable terms. That is the idea of Dibor. The idea of Dibor is the fact that you're able to translate something which is a concept, something which is intellectual, into something which is then translated into physical, expressible, and expressible unit. That's really what Dibor is, and that's the Milo of Adam, is that connection, the point of connection between the seichel and the guf, between the intellect and the body, is that point of union there is actually the koach of Dibor. So the idea, to put it all, that the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat, that Tzedek and Mishpat, that they're by definition, they're really opposite terms. They're things which can't fit together. Tzedek means, Mishpat means this is the rule, this is the consequences. Consequences are defined and they're absolute. And tzedek is lifnim mishur hazadin. Tzedek means I'm going past the pure line of what is dictated by the results of your actions, and I'm tempering that with other circumstances. That's where tzedek comes in. Though by definition, if you have tzedek, then you don't have mishpat. But a Kaddish Baruch Hu, in a way that we can't understand, that's the meat of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in everything, is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu takes, in a way that we don't understand, can take two things which are opposite and combine them to produce something which is real, which has a new kiyum to it, a new existence, which is greater than what was before. So fine, that's Melech O Yitzchak Mishpat. Now I wanted to talk about, I don't know if we'll get all the way through it. maybe we'll just start and we'll see. That at the end of the bracha in the Yamim Noraim, we change it from Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat to HaMelech HaMishpat. So many Mefarshim, many commentaries ask, what's the big difference? What the big difference is, and why there is a need to change this at all? They seem like there's not such a drastic change between the two. And furthermore, that in in Halakha, we find there's a machlokas in the machlokas Rishonim. According to the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, if you forget to say HaMelech HaMishpat during the Yom Noraim, you have to repeat Shmon Esrei. If you open up your art school siddur, you will say that it says, if you forgot it, do not repeat Shmon Esrei. That's because in the tour has the opinion of the Re, that since we say Melech anyways, since in the version that we say, so even in our regular weekday Shemona Esrei, we say Melech Ohev Tzedako Mishpat. So therefore, since you're mentioning Melech anyways, even if you say the normal version, you don't have to repeat. And he says the Gemara, which says that you do have to repeat, was referring to a specific version of the bracha that some people had, in which they didn't say Melech Ohev Tzedako Mishpat. They actually said Hakel HaMishpat. And since they said Hakel HaMishpat, during the rest of the year they normally said Hakel HaMishpat and did not mention Melech. So if you forgot to switch it from Hakel HaMishpat to a Melech HaMishpat, so then you would have to repeat Shmona Esrei. But according to our minhag, if you say Melech Ohev Tzedako Mishpat, when you're supposed to say HaMelech HaMishpat, you don't repeat Shmona Esrei. But even according to our minhag, if you realize Koch Kedei Dibor within the short amount of time, somewhere around 3 or 4 seconds, the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, that you realize that you said the wrong one, you said HaMelech Tzedako Mishpat, you realize Koch Kedei Dibor, you fix it. You're supposed to correct it if you said the wrong one. But according to the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, even if you realize it after you finish Shmon Esrei, you have to repeat the whole Shmon Esrei in order to correct it. So a number of Mefarshim ask, what is the big deal? We say Melech Ohev Tzedako Mishpat, and now we change to HaMelech HaMishpat. So it doesn't seem like such a big difference to justify. It doesn't seem like there's such a significant difference in the first place, and yet we're being told it's so significant that according to many Rishonim, you actually have to repeat Shmon Esrei if you mess it up. So we will start with, I think we probably won't get through all of it, we'll have to pick this up next week, but the Rabbeinu Manoach in the Sefer HaMenucha, Rabbeinu Manoach is a commentary on the Rambam, and the Rabbeinu Manoach there writes, that in the formula for the whole year, when we say Melech Ohev Tzedaka Umishpat, so as we explained at the beginning tonight, that when we say Melech Ohev Tzedaka Umishpat, the Mishpat being referred to is not referring to Hashem. It's meant to be understood as Melech Ohev Shayisnagu Beruah V'derech V'Tzedek U'Mishpat, that Hashem loves when we act with Tzedek and with Mishpat. That it's describing our actions, or more accurately, describing Hashem's attitude towards our actions. It's not describing Hashem's Midah of Mishpat. It's not describing Hashem's attribute, or Hashem acting with Mishpat, or Hashem's relationship with Mishpat. It's describing Hashem's attitude towards our relationship with Mishpat, that Hashem loves when we carry out, when we execute tzedakah in Mishpat. However, Hamelech HaMishpat means that God, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the shofet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge. He is the one who carries out judgment. And now, while we're in the Yemei Hadin, and now when we're in at that point when we're in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Al Kisei Hadin, then we emphasize and we have to come to recognize and appreciate for ourselves the role of Shofet, that God is the judge of the world, and realize the consequences and the severity of our actions and how closely God looks at our actions. And that's the significant difference, is you're not talking about that God likes or God cares about our execution of Mishpat. We're changing from talking about God's attitude towards our relationship with Mishpat to the fact that God is the Shofet. We're not going to be able to get through this. I'll just point out the question. There is a grammatical curiosity in the construction of this phrase, which is that seemingly, normally in Hebrew grammar, when you have a definitive article made up of two words, it only gets one hey. The hey hayadia, the definitive article, only goes before the second word. You call a school a Beit HaSefer, right? Or it's a it's Yemei Hadin. It's not Ha Yemei Hadin. It's Yemei Hadin, and it's Kisei HaKavod, right? It's all the hay goes. You only have one hay there. So what does it mean, HaMelech HaMishpat? What is HaMelech HaMishpat? It's seemingly a grammatical curiosity. So I'll just mention that Rashi brings other examples in Tanakh where we find this structure. He says Ha'aron Ha'idus. We find a similar structure, and he brings a couple other examples. And Rashi suggests that really this is, you know, a less common but interchangeable alternative. And it means the same thing, that sometimes it's this way, sometimes it's that way, and they're really both normal, and they mean the same thing, and that's what Rashi writes in Brachos Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, I believe it is, and that's what Rashi answers the question. But, and this is to stop here, but this is what to discuss, pick up with this next week. The Rabbeinu Manoah explains that the words HaMelech HaMishpat, he says that there, it's not a compound phrase. It's saying Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech HaMishpat. Both phrases, that God is HaMelech and God is HaMishpat. God is the king and God is the Mishpat. And we'll have to discuss exactly what that means. What do we mean God is Mishpat? And we'll pick up with that next week. And I guess next week we will finish off the 11th.